fun. Nice to see all the children up here up front. Did you all have a nice sleep, a good night's sleep? Sleep real good, that's good. I like to see bright-eyed, bushy-tailed faces. Shall we look to the Lord Jesus and ask Him for help during this time when we sing our hymns and we talk about the Lord Jesus? We always need the Lord's help, don't we? So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Well, I'm going to ask you children some hymns to sing, but before we do, I'm going to pick one myself, okay? And it's hymn number 8, and I'm going to ask maybe Mr. Maurer to start the hymns for me, because I'm not too good at that. To hear you children sing too, and to see you sing. I like to tell stories about children. I wanted to tell a story about a little girl by name of Abigail, and her mom and dad were singing a song about the Lord's coming, and a daddy was talking about the Lord's coming, and they were singing and they were being happy, but the little girl's face went down. It was sad. She's only 3 years old. Her face got sad. And The daddy said, "What's wrong?" She said, "If Jesus comes, I won't go." She said, "If Jesus comes, I won't go." And he said, "Why?" She says, "Because my sins aren't washed away." She said, "My sins aren't washed away." He said, "All you got to do is ask the Lord Jesus, and he'll wash your sins away." I also know another little girl, when she was little, she's not little no more, but when she was little and she was a little girl, she said her dad and mommy told her about the Lord Jesus, and she knew her daddy and mommy loved her an awful lot, and they told her about Jesus, and they said, "You know what? Jesus loves you more than we do." And she said, "Oh, I want a Savior like that, who loves me more than even mommy or daddy does." And this was a little girl. And we have a lady, she's about my age in our meeting. And she says, "You know, I got saved when I was so little, I don't even remember when I got saved." That's her daddy is Mr. Billisolly. And it's Shirley Thurston. Some of you guys know her. But anyway, she didn't even remember when she got saved, because she got saved when she was so little. But she came to know the Lord Jesus. And you know what the most important part is when somebody says, "Well, how do you know you're saved if you don't remember? The important part is that you know that you are saved and that you have life and that you believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And it's very evident that there is life. I heard somebody say a question once. They asked a question like this. They said, "Show me your birth certificate." And while I lost it, if you said, "I lost it, I don't have one," so then I don't believe you're alive. No, how do you tell somebody's alive? Because they show signs of life. That's how you know. Because there's life. And you remember, children, I was going to ask you for songs. Does somebody have a hymn they would like to sing? Do you have one? Do you want to have one? At the Heart Store?
At the Heart Store, the Savior's waiting. At the Heart Store, heartens in. Can you hear him gently knocking? Open the door and let him in.
Children, I was going to make a suggestion. There's hymns that are on the back of your hymn sheet that are from 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, and 47. I was going to suggest that maybe you pick from those. Would somebody have a hymn they would like to sing? Well, we'll ask a boy and then a girl. Okay, which one? 46. Okay, sing number 14.
If you've been to Jesus for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood?
Good question, boys and girls. And I like to tell stories. Is it okay if I tell another story now? I want to tell a story about two boys. They like to play. Is there any boys and girls here who like to play? Yeah, there's sometimes I hear children say, some of my children say, I haven't had time to play all day. But that's one thing they want to make time for. And in fact, I told one of my boys this story of Daniel and how they made him work real hard, and they made him a eunuch so he could never be a father, and they took him from his father and mother, and no doubt his father and mother was killed, and they made him work all day, and maybe he didn't even have time to play. And my son said, I would still find time to play. That was his biggest concern in the story. That children like to play, but sometimes things happen when children like to play. Want to have fun. We don't think about serious things. We don't think about danger, and we don't think about things that maybe we should sometimes. Because, you know, little children, when they're little, they don't know better, even some littler than you guys, like when they wander off and maybe they'll walk in front of a car. They want to play. They're not thinking about a car coming, are they? No, they don't know better. Well, there's dangers. There's a question in our song. It's about sin. It asks, are your sins washed away? Are you saved? I'm going to tell you a story about a brother who wanted his brother to be saved, but it wasn't the consideration from a lost eternity. It was because danger had happened and they were playing. This is a true story. It's about where they dredge rivers and they sometimes they have barges and they want to take the boats through, and sometimes there gets to be sandbars or the river runs and it piles up sand, and sometimes they have to remove the sand. And this was a case where they had to remove sand so the barges would go through, and they'd make these huge piles, and they had some sort of pumps and other things, but sand and water would go out and they'd make huge piles of sand. And well, the water would run out of the sand and dry out, and the sun would come down, and when the sand was drying, it'd make a crust. And children often thought it was fun to run up those piles. But the problem was, water would disappear, and the sand would settle, and the crust would be on top, but there'd be deep holes in the sand. There'd be these real deep holes in the sand. But when you looked at it, it looked just smooth on top. And there was two boys that wanted, they were playing, and they decided they wanted to go down to those sand piles, and they found one of the biggest sand piles. They wanted to climb to the top. And so that's what they did, and they went to climb to the top of the pile. And when they got to a certain point, there was one of those deep holes. They both fell through. And you know what sand is like. It's loose and it begin to shift and the sand began to fall in the hole. But I want to tell you, I'll skip forward to further on in the story. And the children were missing. The mom and dad could not find the two boys. And it was getting to be evening, and they began to be worried. So they sent out a search party. And they began to look for the boys. And somebody thought about the sand piles, and they went down there. And they went looking, and somebody spotted one of the boys. He had sand up to his chest, way up almost to his head. Only his head was sticking out. And so they went over there, and he was turning blue because of the pressure of the sand. He couldn't breathe too good. The sand was pushing on him, and he was starting to turn blue. So he was unconscious, and they were digging the sand from away from the boy. And finally they got the sand, the pressure off him, and they were getting down to his waist. He had been in there a long time. And he woke up, and right away they wanted to know, "Where's your brother?" He said, "I'm standing on his shoulders." His brother wanted him to be saved. So he put him on his shoulders. Do you know that that's a sad story, but his brother gave his life to save him. You know, the Lord Jesus gave his life to save you. And the salvation of your souls is a very serious matter. It's even more serious than the story I just told you. But that was a nice story about a brother who gave a life for his brother. And Scripture says that even some men would dare to die. They'll die for a good man, they'll die for their brother. But Jesus Christ died for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what the Lord Jesus did for us. Do you have a mom and dad who wants you to get saved? Do you have a brother who wants you to get saved? Do you have a grandpa and grandma who wants you to get saved? Do you have the older brethren? Did you know before every gospel there are those who go up there and pray? And there are those who pray during the meeting, the gospel meeting, that children would get saved. And there are those who pray during these meetings that you children would get saved. Just like that brother who wanted his brother to be saved. There are those who want you to be saved. Okay, we need to sing another hymn. What hymn do you have? What number? 15.
God's love in Christ we see.
an invitation to all, whosoever will may come. And that's children and everyone alike. Sometimes when we talk to children, I remember when Brother Albert Hayhoe was telling a story. He was talking to children just like this. And there was a lady who'd been to many gospel meetings, and the Lord opened her heart, and she got saved that night, or that day, Sunday school. She said she never understood the gospel before. It was the first time that it entered into when he was speaking to the children. You know, children, you need to understand the gospel. You need to know that there's a Savior who lives on high in the glory, who loves you and who died for you that you might be saved. And that he loves you more than mom or dad or all your brothers and sisters who want you to be saved. The Lord Jesus is asking you to come. Whosoever will may come. Children, how do we know Jesus loves us? The Bible tells us so, but what did Jesus do that the Bible tells us about? What did he do, Jerry? He died for us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because Christ died for us. Does anybody know what the Sunday school verse is for today? And anybody who would like to say it? Any volunteers? Well, maybe I'll say it. But is this the right one? You guys tell me. Is it the right one with the picture of the skunk on the front? Is that the right one? It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good." Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, let's talk about that. I got another story about a little girl. And it wasn't necessarily why corrupt communications were allowed in her life, but I'm going to think about a story. If you turn to the 7th chapter of Luke, you'll find a story about the Lord Jesus and a woman towards the end of the chapter, about a woman who was a sinner. And she, she came to the Lord Jesus and anointed him, and she was washing his feet with her tears and wiping them with the hairs of her head. And there was a man by the name of Simon. I'm going to talk, this says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And there's times when we might say something with our mouth, but do you know there's communications in our heart? It's important, too, what's in our heart. Because in that story, it says, Simon said in himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is that touches him. And do you know what Jesus did? He answered him. Now, Simon could say, hey, I didn't say anything. He answered the thoughts of his heart. He answered him. And then if we turn to Ephesians chapter 5, our memory verse is in the 4th chapter, but it says, speaking to yourselves, making melody in your heart, speaking in spiritual songs, making melody in your heart is unto the Lord. I'm not saying the whole verse, but it kind of goes along that way. But there again, it's talking about speaking to yourself. Now, that's not correct communication. That's good communication, because it's speaking of making melody in your heart is unto the Lord. It's singing about the Lord, making melody, and spiritual songs. Well, I'm going to tell you another story. And this is a story about a little girl. And there was a time in her life when the Lord was working and she asked the Lord to save her. And that's going to bring up my subject along with what I have to talk about here. And maybe if we have time, we'll sing some more hymns. But this little girl, there was three distinct times in her life when she was little that she came to her father and she said, "Daddy, I'm not sure I'm saved. Daddy, I'm not sure I'm saved." So her daddy would open the Bible and quote John 3:16 to her, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then he would read her other verses, and he would pray with her, and she would go. She was troubled. He could see it. And there was three distinct times in her life that this really happened and troubled her. Well, she grew up to be an older girl in her teenager, and her dad were talking about when she was this little three-year-old, and these times happened. She says, "Dad, do you remember those times?" And he goes, "Yeah, I remember." And she says, "Do you know what happened?" She said, "Those times I had questioned my salvation." She says, "Was the times you had told me not to take candy out of this little jar that had a lid on it unless I gave you one. And those three times I snuck a candy." She had taken something that she wasn't supposed to take, and she had sinned. And every time she did that, she felt guilty, and there was communications that went on in her heart. And she wasn't sure about her salvation. And I heard the other night that the soul that is saved should know it. Well, her and her dad were talking. He said, "Why didn't you tell me what happened?" The problem was, you know, he would have maybe then talked in a different way and told her about the blood of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, "Oh, when you're saved." But it is important to know if you're saved. And you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithful to Jesus and his finished work. Well, where should we turn? I was thinking of Romans 8. There's a verse there that I'd like to turn to. Story, well, I'll just read verse 15, Romans 8:15. "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You know, if you know the Lord Jesus, you have a witness, the Spirit of God, and it bears witness with our spirit. And it and Romans 8:9 says, and it says in the last part of the verse, it says, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Those who do not have this witness in themselves that they are the children of God are not his. I know children are growing up and coming to the age of accountability, but there are those who are older, even such as we had before us in the meetings, as Jesus's half-brothers James and Jude, and Scripture attests that they did not believe on him till after his resurrection. They did get saved, but they didn't get saved until they were older. They didn't get saved until they were older. And now there's another verse in 1 John 5. And verse 13. If you want to know about, you know, by myself, I really can't tell anything. The Spirit of God may witness with my spirit, but really it's through the Word of God, the witness of the Spirit of God. But in 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And then turning over to the third chapter of 1 John, it says in verse 20, it says, "For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God." There's a verse in Romans chapter, is it 3 or is it 4? But it says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." There are evil communications in that we have to say these communications aren't right. If I have sinned, you know, there's a verse we often quote with the remembrance of the Lord Jesus. It says, "Let a man examine himself and so let him eat." So that's, we need to fess up. Confess. If you know the Lord Jesus, you need to, if there is sin that comes in our life, we have an advocate with the Father. Those are big words. But it's Jesus Christ the righteous. And the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood, that precious blood is always a comfort to a believer. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Every sin. There's not one sin that it can't cleanse us from. In fact, you know what happens at work? These are big people. But I'm going to tell you, children, that you have heard more things about the Lord Jesus than these big people have. They're 20 years old, and they've never heard Jesus loves me or anything. And they'll say something to me like, "You read the Bible, don't you? Yeah, I heard you read the Bible. You're a Christian, aren't you?" And then they'll name some sin to me, and they'll say, "Will that sin keep you out of heaven?" Because what has happened is sin, they have come so used to sin that it doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. It just doesn't seem like a big deal. And what I try to tell them is this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And I tell them, you know, there's one thing that will keep you out of heaven, because all of us have sinned and we'd all go to a lost eternity. But that sin needs to be forgiven, yes. But one thing will keep you out of heaven. And this is in the end of Revelation. It talks about when they are judged by their works and their names, the Lord Jesus looks, their final condemnation is that their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The final condemnation to anyone who goes to a lost eternity is they did not receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So instead of focusing on how bad one sin is bad or worse than the other, I tell them, we all have sinned. And I say, the only one thing will keep you out of heaven, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you don't accept His pardon, you need to have your sins washed away. Every one of us, a boy and girl. Now, I want you children, as you're growing older, and some of you are starting to learn from your right hand from your left. I've known where children have gotten saved pretty young. So young, maybe they can't even remember when it happened. But if the Lord Jesus is working and the Spirit of God is striving, it's called the day of visitation. The Lord visits men, and the Spirit of God can visit you. And the Lord be visiting your hearts right now. And just like we sang, there's a Savior who wants you to be saved. Your mom and dad do. Many are praying for you, children, even today, are praying that you will be saved. Make sure of your salvation. Why is it important to make sure of your salvation? Why? Why not just play and not think about it, like those boys who were running up that sand? There was danger, right? What's the danger if we don't know we're saved? The enemy likes to put us in a place called neglecting. Is there a verse about that? It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Anybody know that verse? You guys know that verse? There's a danger of not making sure. Children, I don't want you to go through this day without making sure that you're saved. You can talk to your daddy or mommy. You can talk to me. I'd be happy to talk to you. But make sure you're saved and that you have. And if your heart doesn't condemn you, then you have confidence towards God. And if your heart is condemning you, there might be a problem with sin. But there also could be the point that that you have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But whatever the case, you need to have confidence and assurance through the Word of God, because the Scripture says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Maybe we could sing a few more hymns. What number? I didn't hear you. 44.
As he entered the valley of death,
There's a verse that says, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And there's another verse that says in, I'm trying to think if it's 2 Corinthians 4 or is it 1 Corinthians 4? It's probably 2nd. But it says, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. And that's what the enemy is seeking to do, but the Spirit of God does strive with the hearts of children and different ones. So, well, let's pray about that power of the Spirit of God. And also we'll pray that the power of the enemy might be bound. So let's pray.